Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
Told us what you did in their days, in days long ago. With your hand, you drove out the nations and you planted our ancestors. You crushed the peoples and made our ancestors flourish. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you love them. The title of the message this morning is Winning New Territory. How many want to win new territory in the name of Jesus? Amen. Winning new territory. We're thankful for the old territory. We're thankful to the Lord for what he did in 2016 and 2015. I'm so thankful that many of you here could say, God met me at this altar even last week or last month. God did this, God did that. God did something at the men's retreat last year. But gentlemen, I am here to declare to you today that there is new territory that God has for our lives. There's new territory in our marriages. There's new territory for our children. There's new territory in our walk with God. And like I mentioned earlier, one of the things that the enemy would love nothing more than to see us just hit the autopilot and to just say, you know what? I'm good. I'm saved. I've given my heart to the Lord. Everything's not as, it's not as bad as it used to be. And you know what? I'm fine. But no, we go from glory to glory and strength to strength. So what I want to do for a second is, what does it mean to win new territory? Can we all say new territory? Well, let's look real quick at what we would, how we want to define new territory. The definition for us here in the New Testament is, it's an area of our life that we have not yet inherited for the glory of God. It's an area of our life that we have not yet inherited for the glory of God. In the Old Testament, the people of faith were taking over physical land, but the kingdom of God is not about buildings, it's not about brick and mortar, it's not about flesh and blood and the tangible things, even though these are elements of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, as Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God is within you. This is a spiritual kingdom. The church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual organism and a spiritual entity. So when we think of new territory, one of the primary things we need to say is, God, where are the areas of my life that I have not yet fully walked into for the glory of God? Fully walked into for the glory of God. I want to give a couple of examples of what new territory would be. First of all, new territory for you here today, it might be a new area of your life that God wants you to have victory in. New areas of our lives that God wants us to have victory in. This could be the first thing. So maybe there's certain areas, maybe let's say, for example, there's an area with your, when it comes to just reading your Bible, because I recognize sometimes just getting up every day or taking time every day and sitting down and spending time with Jesus could be a major, major victory. And that is a huge thing. Maybe in the beginning of your walk with the Lord, you know, you would read your Bible once a week during the sermon at church. But then the Lord kind of helped you, and little by little by little, all of a sudden your walk with God began to progress, and you began to take in the word of God, and you were able to say, you know what? I was listening to the lies and to the words of the world, but now I primarily listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Yeah, maybe when you start talking with people in your life, you still really struggle with being incredibly angry. Do you know that you could read your Bible and have a certain part of your life growing and flourishing, and sometimes there's another part of our life that is dying? There's other parts of our lives that we would say, God, I'm thankful that I've inherited your promises over here in the East, but Jesus, I need you over here in the West. God doesn't fix us instantaneously. He doesn't do that. The journey of our walk with God is this journey where we continually say, okay, God, thank you for doing this over here. Lord, now I need you to help me over here. Maybe you're here today and you just got a real big promotion. How many of you within the last 5 years were promoted at your workplace? Just a showing of hands. Okay, praise the Lord. So I want to speak to you for a second. Sometimes when you're even promoted in the world and you're promoted in your career, the battle that got you there, you have to learn to fight that battle all over again. Sometimes maybe you weren't tempted with the allure of money. You're like, you know what? I'm good. Money's not a big issue for me. You know, God's going to provide. But then all of a sudden, maybe you've started to taste certain levels of success. And what you thought you fought a battle in 1997, now in 2017, you have to really learn to fight that battle all over again. Because with every new level of promotion, sometimes there's new levels of fighting that you have to learn to do it again. So however you slice it, new territory, one of the areas of new territory is new areas of our lives that God wants us to have victory in. A second example, I'm giving you examples because I'm going to have you do a quick exercise here in a moment. A second example are new promises that God wants us to inherit. So there's a promise maybe that you've heard, maybe you've read in the Bible. Maybe it's a simple promise that says the children of the righteous will be mighty in the land. Maybe you're a first-generation Christian. You're the first person in your family that has decided to follow Jesus Christ. And maybe you came to the Lord a little bit later in life, but now you look to those in your household, you look to children, you look to cousins, you look to those who are close to you, and you say, God, you're promising me that the children of the righteous are going to be mighty in the land, but Lord, my kids are not mighty in the land. They're mighty in the world, but not mighty in the kingdom. And you're going to say, God, I want to win new territory when it comes to the promises of God. I want to win new territory when it comes to the promises of God. How many of you have a promise here you would really love to see the Lord fulfill in your life? Amen. We all should have some. I have about four or five. And I want to win new territory through the promises of God. A third example of new territory is new kingdom advancement for our ministries. For our ministries, I know many of you here serve in a ministry. One of the values here at Chicago Tabernacle is serving others into greatness. We pursue God, we love with his heart, and we serve others into greatness. And your stewardship and your ministry that you're in, there is new territory that God has for you in your ministry. And you might say, Pastor Matt, I'm an usher, or I'm doing parking, or I work with the kids, or I'm a campus ministry, or I'm an intercession. Whatever it might be, there is still new territory that God has for you in your place of ministry. Men of God, we need to lead the way even in the ministries of the church. It should be the men who are able to stand up and say, listen, praise God for what he did in our ministry last year, but we're believing that this year God is going to do something even better and even greater. How many of you serve on our parking ministry here? Just a showing of hands. Okay, a bunch of you. So, little praise report. We had an unbelieving man, because we're in for zoning. We had a zoning meeting this week. It went really, really well. Praise the Lord. We have many more to come. We're looking at our campus expansion, all sorts of wonderful things. One of the things the city of Chicago requires you to do is you have to do a traffic study. And they have these traffic professionals that they'll come up and they'll set up shop and they count how many cars go by, how many people go inside your church. And they work for us, but we still have to submit their report with our zoning report. And so they actually set up a camera at Belmont and Cicero. They set up a camera across the street, real kind of, you know, espionage-like. You wouldn't even notice it, but it was there. And then one of the gentlemen came. He says, I need to sit outside the church on a Sunday morning and I got to see the traffic flow, okay? And so what he did is he sat out there and he watched this traffic go, and he watched it go. And you know what he said? He came and he told some of the staff, he said, listen, your parking department is one of the best running parking ministries that I have ever seen. Can we praise the Lord for his goodness? Amen. And listen, that is a huge deal. Not just because of the zoning pieces, but that is a reflection of the glory of God. Because he didn't necessarily come into the church except maybe to use the restroom. His whole experience of who we are as Christ followers was how the brothers managed the parking. And it is. And then one of our attorneys was actually outside on. I found out the other day. We've been inviting one of our attorneys for years. One of them came to church a couple months ago, but one of the other guys, we've been inviting him every single time. We're saying, you gotta come. And he keeps getting closer and closer. So he like literally drive around the church, right? He said, oh, I drove by the church yesterday. I said, why don't you come in? He said, oh, I drove by. So what he did this last Sunday, okay, is he said, I went and got a Danish, and I sat outside the church in my car. I'm like, come on, bro. But here's what he said. He said, I was watching the parking guys. He was just watching. He wasn't there to critique. He was just taking it in. He said two things. He said, I was struck by how happy the children were. He said the kids, this is a total unbeliever, he said the kids were running to the church. And that shocked him, that children had a big, huge smile on their face, and they were running. They couldn't wait to get into the church. And then the second thing he said, and then the guys, the parking guys with the vest, it was amazing. They were like a wall next to the street, and the kids would try to run, and they would say, stop, and they had the kids in order. Same thing. So it was a reflection of the glory of God. So you know what that is? That's winning new territory. Sometimes God wants us to win new territory. We don't even realize that a new soul is going to be maybe swept into the kingdom from that. So it goes for parking cars and visiting people in prison, all sorts of different things, okay? So here's what I want you to do. Everyone, there's some paper at your table, okay? It might be buried underneath the puzzles, all right? There's some pens and some paper. I want everyone to grab a pen and paper. This is going to be between you and the Lord. I'm not going to have you share it at this time with your table, but I want all of us to have a real kind of gut check. I want us to be real honest. I want us to take just a couple of minutes, and I want us to write down, this is going to be between you and the Lord. I want you to write down, and here's the question. What are the areas of new territory that you would like to win in? New territory. So we want to identify the new territory. Can you put the Bible verse up one more time, real quickly? Look up the, let's get faith in our hearts. Let's look at the text. It's the first slide. If you can pull that up real quickly, look at this. It says, go to the one, verse three, right here, back one. There we go. Look at this, gentlemen. Look at this, guys. It was not by their sword that they won the land, won the new territory, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you love them. So we're believing God is going to help us to win new territory. But let's take a minute, and let's be honest, and let's write down some real specifics. And by the way, I want to encourage you to be specific, because this is going to become a prayer list. I find that a lot of times that if my prayer is more general, God will answer more general. If my prayer is specific, it gives me faith to believe God more specifically. Okay, so let's take a minute. What are the areas of new territory that you would like to win in? Okay, so I want you to hold on to that. Keep that paper there. It was not by their sword that they won the land, that they inherited new territory, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. So there's new territory that God wants us to win. There's new territory that the Lord wants us to win. But now what the Bible says, if you look at verse 3, you can put that back up. If you look at verse 3, it's interesting here. What the psalmist says, that it was not by their sword, verse 3. It was not by their sword that they won the land. So this is talking historically of the nation of Israel, that when they went into the promised land, it was not their sword that won the land. Now you might say, how does that work, Pastor Matt? Because they actually did fight. I know Joshua and the battle, they marched around Jericho. There was another one where they actually slayed their enemies. So help me understand that on one side they actually did fight with their swords, but on the other side it says that it's not by their sword. And the idea here is that it was not their, the primary power that brought them victory was not their sword. There was a secondary effort, and that was the fact that their sword and their effort, their human effort, was a part of it, but it was not the primary reason. So, for example, when someone gives their heart to Jesus Christ, someone has to tell them the gospel. It was not the person telling them the gospel that saved the soul. It was the power of the gospel through the power of the Spirit that saved the soul. You understand? So it's not the vessel that actually does the impactful work. The vessel is just the vessel. What the impact that actually takes place is the let me put it this way. So electrical, think about an electrical current, like an extension cord. Nobody is typically super, super excited about extension cord unless you're in construction and you don't have one, okay? And then you actually get one. Someone's like, I'm excited about my extension cords. Okay, you got the big, thick gauge ones. Okay, great. But at the end of the day, what is the purpose of an extension cord? It's to be a conduit of power, right? So we're like, okay, great. That was a really cool extension cord. But what was actually important was the power that was flowing through it, okay? So that's the idea here, is that sure, was there a vessel like a sword? Did someone actually fight a battle? Yes, but that wasn't really what made the true impact. The true impact was the power of the Lord. So what, and here's what happens sometimes as men. We can very quickly take credit for something that we didn't really do. Because you say, well, wait a minute, I did get up early. I did work hard. I did study. I did pray. I did fight. I did do that. I worked really hard. So because I worked hard, therefore, I should receive the credit. But the moment we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, we forfeit the privilege of receiving credit, because all of the credit and all of the glory and all of the honor should go to Jesus. All of it. Can we put our hands together and praise the Lord that He gets all the glory? And what I'm praying for us today is that if there is a stronghold in your mind or in your heart that you actually are tempted to believe that that the good things in our life are from us, my prayer today is that the Lord would open our eyes to see, recognize that every good and perfect gift actually comes from the Father of heavenly lives, James chapter 1. Anything that is good in our life, we should not just have to give lip service, but our hearts should really believe and say, yes, it really is the Lord. Some of us are being held back from winning new territory because the Spirit of God knows that if we win that new territory, we will take the credit for the win. And He's saying, I need to teach you who has brought you to this point, and really come to the place where you know, my son, that it was your father, it was me, your father, that brought you here, so that when I do bring you into the new territory, you're not tempted to think that you were the formula for your success. Because it's in our fallen nature. The Tower of Babel was mankind saying, let us build a tower to reach to heaven, so that we can make, in essence, I'm paraphrasing, but a name, and we can make ourselves great. The world says, be great. The world says, be awesome. The world system says, make a name for yourself. Be amazing, be wonderful. But Jesus is saying, listen, I want to be wonderful. You can be a great vessel, but I want to be wonderful. So the temptation here was what the psalmist was saying, was it was not by their sword that they won the land. So what is a sword for us? Well, once again, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that manifests in the natural. And so in a spiritual kingdom, we're not all selling swords and going out and killing people. We're not taking over neighborhoods for the glory of Jesus in the physical. That's not what this is about. So what does a sword look like for us in 2017? Well, here's a definition of a sword. Tools and skills that we use to fight our battles and to build our lives. These are our swords as men of God today in the New Testament church. They're tools and skills that we use to fight our battles and to build our lives. So let me go through a couple of examples of what swords could be. First of all, a sword that we use to win, to build our lives and to win battles are physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual strength. Okay? So we have battles to fight. We've got things to do. We have responsibilities in our life. We've got to work. We got to live. We got to be responsible men. Yes, absolutely. One of the tools that God gives us is our physical strength. He gives us a mind to think. He gives us emotions to feel. He gives us strength, spiritual strength, to serve Him with. But we have to be very careful and recognize that sword will not in itself help us to win the territory that God has for us. And if we start to put strength in that, we will not be able to truly walk into the fullness of what God has. A second example of a sword are talents and skills. Talents and skills. Some of us, you know, God has given, every one of us, God has given us different skills and different talents, different abilities. Some of you have learned skills and learned talents and abilities. Some of you have been, you know, you've worked on it a long time. And we have to be very careful once again that we don't put our trust in our talents. Because if we put our trust in our talents, our impact is limited, and trust in our own talents cannot truly win us the spiritual promises that God has for us. Maybe you're in a marriage and you feel that you were pretty talented and pretty skillful, and you were a romantic maybe, and you were able to persuade this woman to fall in love with you. Well, I'm telling you right now, and if you haven't figured it out, I'm sure you will very shortly, that at the end of the day, just because you won a woman's heart doesn't mean that you're going to be able to keep her heart. Okay? Because marriage is for life. And after you leave the covenant of I do, now begins a day by day, week by week, month by month, incredible journey that takes something beyond ourselves. So that maybe that's an example of a sword. Another sword that we can trust and depend on is education and knowledge. Education and knowledge. So thankful that we can receive education, and we can get training, and we can receive knowledge from institutions. But as the good Dr. Tozer, who was a pastor on the south side of Chicago, it's one of my favorite quotes, A.W. Tozer, he said, "All you learned in school was one fallen head teaching another fallen head." In essence, knowledge is limited. Thank God for knowledge and thank God for education. But if we're going to really win in the kingdom, if we're going to really win in the new territory that God has, we have to be very careful that we don't put all of our trust in our dependence and our wisdom and our experience. One more example of a sword is our relationships and networks. Here's another aspect of it. Some of you have, God has used your relationships. God has used your various connections in the world and connections in the workplace and connections within the city maybe to become successful. But what is very important is that you have to be able to recognize that it was the Lord who gave you those relationships. It was the Lord who established your steps. The Bible says that it's God who establishes our footsteps. You might say, man, I just happened to run into this person, and because I ran into this person, we made a connection, and because we made that connection, it turned into some sort of maybe blessing or promotion or training or something good and something great. But you have to remember that a relationship and a network connection, ultimately, we better be very careful to give the credit back to the Lord. And you might lean on that. And a good test is that when you're in a moment of crisis, who do you call first? Do you pick up the phone and call people you know to see how they can move and shake on your behalf? Or do you drop to your knees and call upon the Lord and say, God, I need your help first, Lord? Sometimes we can trust in a sword instead of the one who actually wins the battle. So here's what I want you to do now. Remember, the text, the Bible verse says that it was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. And so we identified what the new territory that God wants to give us. Now I want you to take a couple of minutes. And here's the next question I want you to write down. The next question I want you to write down is, what are some of the swords that you use to fight battles within your life? And they may not be bad. Remember, this is not, what are some of the tools, what are some of the skills that you lean on to fight battles in your life and to build your life? I just gave you some of the examples. Let's take a couple of minutes. I want you to identify some of the swords that you use to fight battles and to build in your life. Okay, so we've identified some of the new territory that we're believing for the Lord to help us in. Then now we identified some of the swords that we use, that we have used to build and to fight. Let's look back again, once again, at the text, verse 3. And I want to connect now the new territory and the sword. So if it's not by the sword, then how is it that we win new territory? So as verse 3, it says, it was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. Can we read the last part of this verse together? It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. Okay, let's read that again. So now you get it right there. Verse 3 in the middle, it says, it was your right hand. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. Okay, so if we don't win primarily by our swords, that's not the way we win new territory. How is it that we win new territory? I want to walk through 3 quick things, and then we're going to pray together. The first thing is we win by God's strength and his reach. We win by God's strength and his reach, as it says, it was your right hand and your arm. Everyone put your hand out for a second. Okay, put your hand out, right? So there's a hand and now there's an arm. And the picture here is that God himself, the victory that was won, the new territory that was gained was because of the hand and the arm of the Lord. Okay, so what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, first of all, we win by God's hand, and this is an idea of building and directing. Building and directing. So God's hand, one of the things that God is the one that does it, God builds and he leads and guides us. So it's like a heavenly father. He points in a certain direction. God's hand, I think it's wonderful that Jesus, of all of the occupations that Jesus could have had when he was on the earth, he was a carpenter. It's this beautiful picture of that even in the natural, the occupation that Jesus chose was to be a builder, to be a builder. As men of God, God has called us to be builders, but we have to recognize that it's the Lord's strength and his resources that's going to enable us to really build. And he'll build and he'll direct. One of the cool things that happened last night, Robert Lee was telling me, Robert and a handful of our men, David and Pastor Jose and a whole group go to the prisons virtually every single week, go to Cook County. We preach. We have a whole service there. Last night they had about 20, 25 of the inmates that came. And Robert was telling me this amazing story. He said, when I was there last night, I looked and I saw a guy that I grew up with. And I was there. Robert's got an amazing testimony how he gave his heart to the Lord and God did an amazing work in his life. And he happened to be directed by the Lord on that night to that group of men. And he saw him and he was able to make a connection with him. And he was able to plant a seed. Now, is that something that he could have directed and made up himself? Absolutely not. There's new territory that God has for him to win, and one of them was the soul of even an old guy, an old friend of his that he hadn't seen for years. How did that happen? How did he win in that new territory? It's because God was the one who directed him. And we have to recognize, God, you're going to build and you're going to direct. Another way that we win by God's strength and reach is we win by God's fist. Can we help put a fist up? Some of you say, I know what that's like, Pastor Matt. Okay. All right, I'll put it down. Another thing that a hand does is it makes a fist. This is how we win by God's fist, by fighting and direct defending. Some of us have grown up fighting, and we're so used to fighting our own battles, but one of the things you have to recognize that is in the kingdom, you need to learn to depend upon the Lord to fight your battles. Okay, God, because when God makes a fist against your enemy, that fist is much stronger than your fist, I promise you. God is our great defender. And there's areas maybe you haven't seen the new territory that you've been fighting for because that's been the problem. You've been fighting for it. And we need to surrender and say, God, I'm done trying to do this fight, but I'm trusting that you're going to fight for me in Jesus' name. The third way that we win is by God's arms. We got his hand, we got his fist, we have his arm. And this is the idea of reaching and preparing. God is the one who's able to reach beyond what we could even reach. The Lord knows what's going to take place in your life in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, in 50 years. Maybe you're moving towards the latter end of your work life, and maybe you're looking at your retirement, and you're getting incredibly stressed and incredibly anxious because you're like, Lord, I've worked so long in the stock market and my investments and blah, 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 all of this stuff, and maybe you're trying to win territory there, and the Lord is saying, be calm, be at peace. My hand can reach into the future far further than yours can. Don't trust in your own strength for the future because I'm the one who can reach. It's the hand and the arm of the Lord. Maybe you're worrying about your children. Maybe you're a young man. You're worrying about the future of the family and how are you going to be a good husband? How are you going to be a good father? How are you going to work well? The Lord is saying, be at peace. Recognize that you win by my arm, not your arm. By reaching. I'm the one who reaches and prepares. Secondly, we win, remember, we don't win according to our own swords, but now we win by God's presence and approval. This is another way that we win. We win by God's presence and approval. And the text says that they won by the light of his face. It's so amazing. This is what an incredible picture that the face of God is what helps us as his sons to actually win. So what this is pointing to is the fact that when as a child, when you look upon the face of a father, something happens. Something takes place. And that's the first thing here when it, under this point, is that we win by seeing his face. By seeing his face. And a question for you, this is a spiritual question. But how often do you gaze into the face of God? How often are you able to be quiet, away from the noise, and to be, and this is not a physical gazing, this is a spiritual gaze, where you can close your eyes, you can zero in your heart, and you can say, God, I'm looking towards you, Lord. And you begin to gaze. This is a faith thing. This is not a physical thing. But you begin to peer upon the face of Jesus. Because when the light of his face shines upon you, oh, can I tell you? That's when we really, really start to win. 2 Corinthians talks about how Moses, he came down from the mountain and his face was glowing because of his encounter with God. And in the New Testament, it says that we no longer have to cover our face, but our faces can be a reflection of the glory of God. A reflection of the glory of God. Have you ever seen somebody that you could tell they had just met with the Lord? Has anyone ever done that before? I know I have. If you haven't, it looks like this. It's something beyond the natural. You can sense the joy and the peace and the sense of the presence of God upon their countenance. Can I tell you one of the most powerful ways to win in your family? Maybe you're a single man here and maybe your relationship strained with your parents or a brother or a loved one. Maybe in your marriage and your children. Some of the most powerful battles are won through countenance. Can I tell you one of the most challenging things for children is a grumpy dad? A dad who's just, Do you know that that's actually very stressful for kids? Stressful for spouses as well? You know one of the most medicinal and ministering things that you can do as a husband, as a father? Is to have seen the face of, is to have gazed upon the face of God. And you come out of your time with God, and there's a peace upon your countenance. Because you have stared upon the light of his face. That is a way that you will win territory because of the face of the Lord. Secondly, we win by seeing his face. And the second thing is we win by the approval of his face. Because this is another thing that happens. When you look at the face of the Heavenly Father, he begins to speak affirmation. Some of us have not won the new territory because we keep looking to all the wrong people to affirm us. If you're looking to the people of the world to affirm you, you're going to be let down many, many times. But one of the ways that we win is we say, God, I just need to be affirmed in the sense that you as my Heavenly Father, that I have your approval. We win by the approval of his face. And lastly, we win by God's passion and his motivation, because he said this. He says that for you loved them. For you loved them. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face. For you loved them. We win by trusting in God's motives, and we win by receiving God's unconditional love. If you're here today and you're in the middle of the battle, you need to remember that God is going to win that, and you will win that new territory. Because God's motivation for you is that he loves you. Come on, let's stand to your feet. I want you to take that sheet of paper. We're going to sing the bridge of this song for a moment. Holy, there is no one like you. As we just sing in a minute. And in a moment, we're going to take the new territory. We want to take the swords that we have, and we're going to talk to the Lord about it for just a couple minutes. We'll be dismissed in a few minutes. But brothers, today, this morning, the Lord has new territory for us to win. Thank you, Father. We don't get to do this every single time, but I want to encourage, I want every single one of the men, I want you guys to slip out of your seat, bring that piece of paper with you. Come on, slip out of your seat. We're going to come to this altar together as brothers in the Lord. We're bringing the land. We're bringing our swords. Come on, continue to lead us in singing. I want you to come bring that, lift it up to the Lord, and we're surrendering the land to Him. We're surrendering these swords to Him. We're going to pray in a minute. Come on, man, lift it up to the Lord. I will put my trust in You, and I will lift that up to God. Lift it up to the Lord.
Trust in You alone, and I will not.
I will build my life.
I will build my life upon Your rock. It is a
for. I'll put my trust in You. I'll put my trust,
and I will put my trust in You alone.
Now, as they continue to play that, what I want you to do, begin to lift that up to the Lord. Begin to say, God, here is the land. Come on, open your mouths, man. Lift your voice to God and say, God, I commit the land to You. I commit the swords to You. I'm laying down my swords and I'm giving this land to You. I am believing in the name of Jesus that You're the one, that this land is going to be fought for. This land will be won by the power of Jesus Christ. Speak it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord today. Surrender it to Him. The Lord is here. The Lord is with us today. We surrender to You, God. We lay it down before You, God. We lay down the land. We lay down the territory. I know because we got these in our hands, I was going to say take the hand of the person. Why don't you put your arms around their shoulder to the left and to the right. Come on, let's lock arms. Put your arms around your brother's shoulder. And here's how I want you to pray. We want to pray that they would win the new territory in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your voice for your brother to the left and to the right. Say, God, help them to win the new territory. Winning new territory today. God, do it. Would You fight battles for them? Would You provide for them? Territory in their marriages. Territory in their families. Territory for the young men, for the old men. Winning new territory, God. Hallelujah, God.
not by our wisdom, oh God, not by our power, oh God, not by our strength, oh God, not by our skills or our talents, oh God, but by your mighty power, oh God, we will give, you will give it to us, oh God. As far as our eyes can see, oh God, as far as our feet can take us, oh God, you will give us that land, oh God, because you are holy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You will not tithe, nor will you keep your anger forever. You do not deal with us according to our iniquities, oh God, but you will give us the land that our eyes see. You will give us the land, oh God, that our feet take, oh God, and we worship you, oh God, by your glory, for your glory, oh God. Strength for your glory, oh God. We worship you. We worship you, oh God. Together we lift you higher and higher, oh God. We worship you, oh God, because you are perfect, oh God. In your heavenly name, we always pray, oh God. Teach us, oh God, to worship you as you ought to be worshiped as we take new land, oh God. To pray, oh God, and to separate ourselves from the noise, oh God, so that we can pray to you as you ought to be prayed to. Not by our strength, oh God, not by our strength, oh God, but by your right hand, the extension of your right hand, oh God,